Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
It's a blessing to be able to serve a living God. Amen. Yes. You know, a lot of people serve a God that their God's dead. Yes. You know that? We were being waited on many years ago at a table in a restaurant, and man, you know, made it very clear in things that he was a Muslim as we testified the Lord Jesus Christ to him. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. And I said, do you pray? And he looked at me like, you know, what kind of dumb question is this, you know? You know, that's the way the guy looked at me. Like, you know, what kind of foolish question is that? You know, he's probably in his mind thinking, I bow down to the east, you know, at such time in the day, you know, and I pray and or whatever. And I said, well, does your God talk back to you? And he said, no. And I said, well, who's going to talk to a God that don't talk to him? And he just couldn't understand that, you know. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. Amen. Amen. You know, tell people it's just as important in prayer life to listen, to just slow down and listen a little bit instead of just spewing out to God. When I say spewing, you know, that don't sound good. But sometimes, you know, people, that's the only time they go before to God. Oh, God, I've got need. You know, oh, Lord God, I need. You know, I'm not coming against that, man. We need to petition the throne of God for our needs. And he said he'll grant our needs and our petitions before we even ask. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you need to be there also thanking him for the petitions that he previously answered for you. You know, thank you, Lord God. I stand before you as a thankful man. Man, I'm full of gratitude and thanksgiving, Lord God, for the great things that you've done for me. Amen. And you know, sometimes when it's always sorrow, oh, you know, things just ain't work out this way. Well, that's your profession. When you should be professing, man, even when times are tough, you should be professing the goodness of God and the love of God, the provisions of God. Amen. And all of a sudden you find those things. You find them coming in your life. You know, but if you're just always, oh, mean. And then, you know, some people manipulate people through their human compassion. You know, they call on you through human compassion, want you to feel sorry for them. Well, it works in the human realm. God's not moved by that. You say, well, the Bible said not to close up your bowels of compassion. Well, I say, you know, we differentiate things all the time. And there's a difference between human compassion and the bowels of compassion of our Lord. Our Lord, you know, the Bible said, them that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. He's not going to have so much compassion on you that you're not going to suffer. If you're walking in sin, it's going to put you in hell. Are you listening, church? And he would rather see you suffer and repent. And get right with him. You know, it's like a dad that has so much compassion for his children and they're disobedient and they're unruly. Well, you know, I'm not going to paddle them. You know, I want to be their friend. Well, you're not fit to be a dad. Amen. A father has to chasten his children. The Bible said it's bastard children that aren't chastened. Amen. So if you're a father, you're going to chasten your children. And we have a heavenly father, praise God, that chastens his children. Amen. So, you know, so oftentimes, you know, we feel like we're fulfilling the word of God. We're fulfilling a segment or a part of it. We're not really bringing it to full fruition to get the full benefits of it. Amen. You know, if you go to a doctor and he gives you an antidote for your problem, you can say, oh, man, I feel good about this. I want the doctor to give me an antidote. But there's something that's got to take it. Even if it doesn't make you feel well. Even if it's causing you some side effects, but it might be getting, that side effect may not be as bad. Now, it sounds like I'm promoting medicine. I know the Bible said, a merry heart doeth good, like, and there's lives extended and saved through medications. Some people lean on them so much, and this medication's got this side effect, and they give you another pill for the side effect, and then you got that one, it's got to, and pretty soon you got 27 pills you're choking down every morning, and they're all for side effects of what the first one started with. You're better off throw it all away and have faith in God and trust him. And all of a sudden you say, man, I feel pretty good now. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Serving a mighty God. Amen. A good God. Hallelujah. Amen. But sometimes we finish the thought and I'll pray and we'll be seated here in a moment. And I got you standing. But sometimes we reason with God like we're dealing with humanity. And you say, well, we need a personal relationship and we could approach him like we would, you know, something that we understand. And yes, but you got to understand, the Bible also said his ways are not your ways. Right. Amen. And ways of men that work in mankind don't work with God. As I say, you could try to get God to feel sorry for you. And, you know, like he's going to spare you. You know, it works with moms and dads sometimes. You know, especially grandparents. You know, you got a grandchild and you're taking care of them. And, you know, the little pretty granddaughter, you know, she's in real trouble. You know, she done something bad. And just smiles. I love you, Pops. You know. Oh, it's okay. We're going to let this one go. Grandparents could do that now. No, what you laughing about? Said, man, I've heard too many sermons about this, Brother Rob. Don't you think I'm going to bend to that for a moment? And, you know, there is a balance, brethren, in all things. Discipline, you know, there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a love. And discipline is love. Amen. The disciples, that's what they call them, the disciples of Christ. It's a disciplined way. And if you weren't looking for a church that doesn't offer discipline for wayward actions, amen, you can find them. Seeker-friendly churches. Oh, everybody's okay. God loves you just the way you are and everything. Well, that's not Bible and that's not the Word of God. Amen. He's angry with the wicked and pursues them off the face there. So good to have Brother Bob with us this morning and his wife, Sister Victoria. Veronica. I'm sorry, sister. I'm thank you for correcting me on that. And there's going to be a lot of people I'm going to be in glory with forever that I'm going to probably be getting corrected for at least the first million years on my names. You know, like I've got some weird pronunciations of things. And I know when we was in Israel, you know, we'd go to a city that I called something totally different. You know, oh, is that this one? Okay. Well, that's how you say that. I figured the people that live there knew how to say it right, you know. And amen. You love the Lord? While we're standing, let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, to have a house of God, a place of worship. Father, a place that we could grow in the grace and knowledge together and learn. Father, be challenged, Lord God, in doctrine and in word. Father, have your way this morning. Have your way with the children's ministry downstairs, Father. Put something in the hearts of these children that they won't be able to shake or get loose from, Lord God, as they pursue on through this temporal life, Lord God, that they can understand the right mind, right thoughts, things of good and evil, Lord God, and they won't be moved or swayed by the mind of education of this world. They won't be swayed by the reprobate mind of education, Lord God, in their political correct ideologies, Father. Protect these children in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can all be seated. You know, most of the time I don't use any notes or anything, and I've got a book here. And I got it for a couple scripture references, if the Lord allows. Some of you may have read the little booklet on the doctrine of baptisms, plural, with an S. Amen. You know, and if the Lord allows this morning, we'll do anything. We have people tuned in from different places, different states on a continuous basis. And many times people can be in doctrinal error and they don't want alterations. They don't want to fix them because they're content and comfortable. Our church preaches and teaches allegories. And we got to keep that in a understanding and in a balance. We got biblical allegories, you know. Talks about Mount Sinai and Sarah and different things. They're using allegories. Certain things have meanings, allegorically speaking. Jesus spoke parabolically in parables on a continuous basis. And he would speak about things that people understood that was relative to their life. You know, if I'm speaking to a mechanic, I might go into some allegoric perspective or parabolic speech of something of diagnosis to diagnose a problem with an engine or with an automobile or with an airplane, with whatever it is. And I might talk to them about the perplexities of diagnostics. Before you could fix something, it's got to be diagnosed. Well, how much more so spiritually speaking? Many times people come to you as a minister and they're looking for help, and they're looking for help of something on the surface. In the chiropractic field, they say that pain is the smallest part of the problem. It's something that caused the pain. And I'm, you know, you say now you're promoting the chiropractor field. Hey, well, they help some people and they hurt some, you know. You work that out. You know, but what I'm saying is they'll say, you know, pain is just the tip of the iceberg. That's something that's being affected by something else. They might have to do some manipulations and things on joints and vertebrae and different stuff to get them off of a nerve, and then all of a sudden the pain goes away. But there was something laying down in that body that was more so a problem. In spiritual diagnostic work, you know, many times people could come and say, well, you know, hey, I got a problem. And I say, well, what's up, brother? Well, it's my wife, you know. And yeah, that's not the real problem. The problem is you, my friend. You know, you don't know how to treat her, amen, like a wife. And then she reacts like you plan into her. And then you want to make it her fault. You know what I'm saying? I'm a man too, amen. And people sometimes, they don't think about what's coming out of them. You know, sometimes your wife doesn't need to hear sitting at the dinner table, the biscuits are cold, the steak's too salty, you know, or it's not salty enough. It's got too much vinegar in it, or this, that, and they're being critiqued continually and never no gratitude saying, hey, thank you, babe, for fixing a dinner for me. Amen. And somebody that's concerned about people, I'm a perfectionist. I believe in perfecting. But you know, you don't have to point out every single failure. And somebody says, I hope you're listening to yourself. Well, I'm called to the ministry of perfection, and I'm going to perfect you. So if you think what I'm saying now is going to make me back off, no. Okay, but I'm saying everything's got to have a balance in it. And the thing is, as I'm perfecting people, I'm trying to honor them. The Bible said to give honor who honors, and honor them for their endeavors, their efforts, for their transformations and their changes and sanctification realm of things that they're progressing in. I watch a man and I see him, he's starting to see some things in his life, and he's starting to denounce those things, starting to crucify those things, starting to mortify those things, starting to kill those things out. And I see, but you say, well, he's got all these other problems, but praise God, they're not all going to fix overnight. There's a process of transformation that might takes years. Amen. You know, you take a kid out and you solo him in an airplane, you know, or you work with him in a few days and you solo him. He said, man, now I'm a pilot. I can fly the same. But, man, he's just getting started. And you say, well, man, praise God. I got baptized in the name of my Lord and Savior, man. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I say, well, praise God. Now you got some equipment to fight. Amen. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. Now we got something to fight against the principalities and powers with. You know, and so many people are looking for R&R in the kingdom of God. But, you know, soldiers do like to get off the battlefield, brethren. And they like a little bit of R&R. They like to get pulled off the battlefield and go over and get a little rest, you know, and relaxation, so to speak. But they know that they're a soldier and they're prepared to fight. You know, and the thing is the children of God. You know, he calls us good soldiers for Christ. Amen. We keep ourselves untainted from the affairs of this world, is what the Bible says. So the thing is being a soldier for Christ, brethren, we have weapons. We have a sword of the Spirit, a shield of faith. You know, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've got a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a belt of truth. These are things that we have. Those things are there for a purpose. And we say, what purpose is it? To let us know we're all fighting. Amen? And we just want this easy street Christianity and easy street religion. But there's an adversary, the devil, that is pursuing you. And if this is a revelation, I'm sorry, but he wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. Amen. And he wants to not just destroy you. He wants you to become a soldier for him. He wants to utilize your vocal utterance. He wants to utilize your mind. He wants to utilize your thoughts. Amen. And he can destroy you. I'm going to start out speaking a little bit of an allegory because it'll fit what I'm trying to say here this morning. If we look to the allegory of the political powers of this day, and they're beyond ignorance. And the thing is that, you know, you see a party that has an agenda. Okay, they want to get some legislation or something moved or funded or financed through Congress, and that's their agenda today. But now, over a few years, that possibly another party now is in control, and they're going to complete this agenda that the other party might have even started. But because now it's going to make it look good for this party, then the other party turns and rejects it. They forgot about, we could say, bipartisanship. See, sometimes, what's the allegory there? Sometimes we in Christianity, well, you know, bless God, I'm Pentecostal, and this guy over here, he's such and such. He ain't no good. Hey, that's your brother. We're looking to do the same thing. We're looking to try to get people into the kingdom of God. And, you know, we don't want to make them our enemy. And if they need some indoctrinations for alteration or transformations in their thinking, then that's your obligation or your responsibility to do so. But we easily put them out. Okay, so I go over to the political powers and I see these two parties not looking for the good of what they were put in there by the people, not looking what's good for the people, but they're saying we're looking good for what is our party. So they're going to reject something that's common sense, something that's simple, that's going to benefit the people to slander a party or for they could stay where they're at. Now let me talk about that for a moment, me as a Christian. I've been involved in denominationalism over the many years. And I could be in a denomination and I could think like the people in the denomination. You know, we're the right ones. Pretty much every denomination feels that way, brother. Well, bless God, I thank God that I'm a Baptist. Praise God, I got Baptist blood flowing through my veins. Hallelujah. You know, you cut me and I bleed Baptist. I mean, you know, I've heard these things. Either I'm repeating things that I've heard. I've heard Pentecostals the same way. There's people that were raised up and went to church as children with grandma and grandpa at the Methodist church. And then, you know, later on in life, their mom and dad get converted and they're going over to grandma and grandpappy's church. And then pretty soon you're a Methodist and it don't matter what anybody says. Amen? And they just, you know, this is what I am. Now you're coming at me with something different, but this something different thing that I might be coming at with you might be really good for you and your people. Amen? But no, I'm going to reject that because this is what I am. This is a common problem, brother, in churches and in religion, we might say. Amen? It's a common problem. And I could even say, I'm speaking to you, it's a common problem with many of you. You look at somebody that maybe hasn't been indoctrinated the way you have, and you look at him in some sort of lesser because of that. The Bible said you esteem your brother greater than yourself. And when you're always looking at somebody and making you better than them, you've already missed the Lord and you've showed your ignorance. Amen? All right. Yeah, praise the Lord. So looking allegorically speaking and seeing a divided nation, why are we seeing an allegory? The Bible says again, the unseen things of the spirit world, amen, are seen by the things that appear. So the nation that you and I live in is totally 100% divided. Okay? And I mean in a vicious way, you know, where they're not working or laboring together. Now, the thing is political powers, you know, is a real good thermometer to look at the condition of the people because these are the ones that are setting the laws that the people are living under and abiding in. So they're a very good way to look and see what's going on. But also we're going to look beyond it as we're speaking this morning allegorically. What does it mean? The little sister back here has got two cars. Since she's been back to church, and both of them the back window knocked out. And I told her, I said, you know, you need to consider that. I'm a person, I look insane. I said, maybe the Lord's trying to tell you you need to quit looking back. The Bible said, put your hand to the plow and not look back. When you're looking back, it's just like what happened to Lot's wife. Something took place. You say, are you rebuking her? I'm saying, hey, we're talking allegories. Or is that for sure because of two back windows knocked out that she's looking back? No, I didn't say it was for sure. I'm saying, what does the allegory mean? It's something to consider, something to pray about. Am I looking back? Am I looking back at my former things? Am I looking at things? Hey, let me tell you, sometimes it's easier to live in the world than it is serve God. You know, you take a kid while his buddies are over in Vietnam getting killed and stuff, and he's over here smoking pot, man, and being one of these free children from the 60s, huh? And his buddies are over there, man, watching blood be spilled on the thing. Yeah, like R&R too. And sometimes that's what we do. In Christianity, all of a sudden we find that there's demands. We find that there's expectations. We're servants of God. What does a servant do? They serve. Amen, but we're on this easy street. Oh, it's just all about knowledge. You know, let me get some more knowledge. Let me get some more. What are you doing with your knowledge? Are you just getting fat and spiritually glutton? In just all this knowledge, boy, I could tell you what, I could put this guy straight and I could set this guy straight and bless God, I'm right, this and that. Well, what are you doing with all your right stuff? Did you turn it just into self-righteousness? Huh? What is the purpose of knowledge? Is it to puff you up, as the Bible said, knowledge puffeth up? See, knowledge is something that we should be utilizing. And if we're not utilizing the knowledge we got, then what good is it? Amen. I mean, when we walk away from a Bible discussion or a debate, we might even say, you know, we want to stay away from vain controversies. The Bible does say that, you know, but you know, when we walk away, say, well, I'll put him in his place. Well, okay, big deal. He's going to hell. Do you feel good about that? Oh, you set him in his place and you let him know that he's an heir. Do you feel good about that? You know, if you're looking to love people, you shouldn't feel good about them being in biblical heir. Well, I showed them, man, I'm right up in it. But that's mankind. Two German shepherd dogs meet themselves out here in the yard. They look each other eyeball to eyeball, and they show their teeth and glare. One turns away, and the other one's saying, yeah, got him. What are you, a beast? Are you a dog when you look at people this way? You know, we've got to fall in love with Jesus and remember that he reached down, as the song said. He reached down to the uttermost. Yeah. Amen? And now if he could do that, why can't you? Amen. Preached a message many years ago here, and I said, you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. If I don't believe that God could save a man or a woman in whatever condition, then how can I believe he saved me and wash away my sin and put my sins as far as the east to the west? Now, I said a lot of things to open up for doctrine here, possibly we may say, but many times people are listening to doctrine, and in this little booklet for you that are tuned in and stuff, if you want a copy of the book, Understanding the Doctrine of Baptisms, the Bible said there's one God, one faith, and one baptism. And I write a book, and it's called The Doctrine of Baptisms with an S. And somebody said, but one God, and I teach God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And it said these three are one. Okay, the Bible said one baptism, but there's a water, blood, and spirit. Amen? And we say, well, these must be one. Well, you're a body, soul, spirit. You are one. Amen. And so the thing is that, you know, people break things apart and then they make it into three separate identities. And maybe I should be careful how I'm saying that, because we can identify the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, and it's one God. And we can identify the difference from the personification of the Holy Spirit personified in the Word. Amen. Word robe made flesh. And after it was personified in the flesh, when it came forth, the Spirit of the Father, when it came forth out of Jesus, it came as the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Father is one. When Jesus said, I and my Father are one, as it came out, now it was identified because it had been personified as the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, again, is sometimes people think they know something, they'll fight something, contest something, but as the Bible said, they don't know what they ought to know. Amen. And again, I quote these scriptures probably almost every church, but people, you know, they think they know something, they don't know something. Amen. And they, you know, man's ways are right in his own eyes. That's the way of man. So if you recognize that, hey, I'm a man, I think I'm right. So right there, you ought to come to a thing and say, I need your help, Lord Jesus. I don't want to be right. I want to be correct. Amen. Because you could be right and you could say, well, I'm very sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. You understand what I'm saying? But many people, they feel good about things. And I had a lady, an elderly lady here in this church many years ago, listen to me preach, and I watched her lock up. And she'd been coming many services, and I watched this woman's spirit just lock up. And I use this as an example for people, because she was coming to a revelation of doctrine and understanding, and she felt like if she accepted what Brother Rob was preaching, that she just put her father in hell. Her father was a Baptist preacher, and she saw the love of God in him. I've seen the love of God in many Baptist preachers. I've seen them involved in soul winning and doing the work of the Lord. I'm not against them. Amen. I thank God for my younger years when I raised up in a heathen home that the Baptist church was offering youth activities. I went off on camping trips and different things and youth ministries with Baptists. I heard about Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, in the Baptist circles. My pastor, one I could say even fathered me in the gospel, even though I was preaching the gospel and traveling, but he indoctrinated me, brought me things. You know, he made a statement. He said, man, I thank God I got saved in the Baptist church. And he said, because the Pentecostals would have killed me. Amen. Can anybody say, oh me? Sometimes you think you're a soul winner and you want to win soul, but you're beating people up so bad that you can't help them. And now we go over to the other side and we're just a big compromiser and everything's okay and we just love everybody, you know, sucking down with them and, you know, drinking their whatever they drink and acting like they do, dance like they dance and fellowship with them in the places they fellowship. Well, you're of your father, the devil. You say, well, come on, Brother Rob, where's the balance? In the mind of Revelation, the mind of Christ. The Pharisees found fault with Jesus for who he was going. He said, the sick need a physician. So you say, well, this person's sick. They need me. So it justifies me to go to the ball games with them. Justifies me to go to the car races with them. Justifies me to go to the dance halls with them. And you're wrong. I met a man down in Georgia. And this man, I was talking with him about the Lord. And he told me straight out. He said, well, my calling is to go to bars. He said, that's my calling. Somebody's got to go in and reach those people. And the Lord spoke to me. And I proved that he wasn't called to go to bars. By what the Lord spoke to me, and I spoke it to him, and I got cussed out by the guy. If you got a ministry and you're strong enough to be going to bars, you better be strong enough, even if somebody's wrong, that you could suffer the wrong and say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. The proper answer for that man, if he had enough strength and enough power of God to be visiting bars, when I said what I said to him, he said, sir, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm trying to do my best to win his soul. But he cussed me out. He literally used filthy, vulgar things and cussed me. And I just told him when he said that God called him to go into bars, I said, well, sir, if God called you to go into bars, you wouldn't be dancing with him in there. And that's when he cussed me out. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you shouldn't be so offensive or so insulting. Well, go talk to Jesus about it. He's the one that spoke it to me. And he spoke those things to people, and they want to take up rocks and stone him, and they hated him first, and they're going to hate you likewise. I don't like somebody tell me the Lord tells them to do something when you know that's not God's way. God's way in his mind is in the word of God, and I don't see that in the word. The Bible said two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. When you're walking with them that are in disagreement to his word, it makes you one with them. Amen. And you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Rob, you were speaking here just a moment ago about reaching out and winning souls. And I say, yes, but you don't become as them. Because then if you act like them and become them, how can you convict them to come out of the lifestyle that they're in when you're in the same thing? You know what I'm saying? You want to sit and talk ball games with them? Well, you're just one with them. I'm not going to sit and talk ball games with them. I'm going to talk about a ball game. I'm going to be talking about an allegory to get them out of the slop hole that they're in. Amen? Sons of God ain't got no time for that kind of foolishness. Well, what's wrong with it? Well, it's the little leaven that spoileth. Amen? Come on. The little foxes spoil the vine. Come on, brethren. You know, and it's those little allowances that what do? They bring condemnation. What does condemnation do? It's the opposite of faith. It's just tearing your faith down. And then you look at it and you see a shipwrecked person. And they don't have no good in them. Amen? In speaking, many times people listen for their doctrine, what they could say. And you should. If you feel pretty stable and you feel like you got a good foundation, you should be looking for things. But sometimes there's alterations. As you grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen? And the thing is sometimes we find that some of our foundational doctrines from denominationalism, we could say, or whatever, sometimes it's got some inaccuracies in it. But you've been under the grace of God, the mercies of God, because he's a merciful God, a long-suffering God. But when he tries to come and bring you doctrine to fix those things and you reject it, now you've stepped into another category. Now you're a rebellious child. Amen? There's a sin of witchcraft, you know, and it stems along with rebellion. So, you know, if, as I said, the woman that was in the church, she felt like, well, if I listen to what Brother Rob's teaching here, my daddy's in hell, she's thinking. So I went to her, I said, no. I said, you know, sin isn't going to be imputed unless there's a knowledge of it. And maybe some of the things that I am preaching, maybe your daddy never heard. So he wouldn't be accountable to it. Much given, much more required. Baptist church sometimes may not have the expectations of people that possibly, as you transformate and grow in the grace and knowledge of God, that God's going to pull you to a greater accountability. Do you realize that? Come on, man. The unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things of pure. And if you're raising boys and you've got a six-year-old boy, you're not going to go in and threaten to whoop his hind end at 6 years old for not having the yard mowed at noon. But the 16-year-old boy, you might be in there threatening with his life. Son, I told you I wanted the yard mowed. And you're sitting here on your lazy hind end because you played video games half the night. And get your little sorry self up there and get it done. So that's what dads do. They demand. And they don't reason with their children. They say, look, this is your obligation. They start teaching to be men and take on responsibilities. And there's a timely perspective in these things. Amen? So again, in speaking to people, saying, look, this, you know, when we're talking about doctrine, it isn't, as I opened up in this, I said, this isn't for to try to get you to become, you know, to leave possibly a Trinitarian move and become part of a oneness move or whatever. Because I don't claim either one, because either one are biblical terminologies. But there's a big dispute between oneness and Trinitarian people. They bang in heads. And they both have accuracies and they both have errors. Amen. And you say, well, what makes you the authority? I'm not. But I tell you what, I've got the Spirit of the Holy Ghost living and dwelling in me, which is the Spirit of truth, and to lead us into all truth and righteousness. But we got to yield to that. If we don't yield to that, we're never going to go anywhere in it. Amen. You know, one kid gets up to the end of the 12th grade and he's, you know, and he's standing watching all of his friends graduate, but he's not graduating because he didn't apply himself. Well, this ain't fair. I went to school for 12 years just like they did. Well, the other ones applied themselves and got the things necessary. And as I said, we're not going to take some literacy test or spiritual test to qualify to make it into God's kingdom. The only test that's going to be is the blood test that you've been washed in the blood. But when you've received the Holy Ghost, it's the Spirit of truth, and it again will lead you into all truth. Amen? So I know many people that claim to have the Holy Ghost. Different people have different evidences. You know, one denomination says, well, I know that I'm this because of thus, us, and us. Another one says, I know I'm this, thus, us, and us. Sleep in your garage tonight, you won't wake up and tomorrow be in a car. Amen. Nor a motorcycle. You know, maybe a skateboard, I might let you have that. Skateboard don't have no power of its own. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe we need to come to a place where we don't have no power of our own. Brother Chuck, if you'll put to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and we'll go down to verse 4. Amen. On the board there, Ephesians 4:4. It says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in our hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. Again, there in Ephesians, and it says, one faith, one baptism, one God. So many people are in their disputes when we say, I'm a Trinitarian. I believe in the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and so do I. Somebody say, I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so do I. You know, and they'll go to places in the scriptures and the word say, well, Brother Rob, you know, when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So that's right there enough doctrine for me to prove that the Father's a person. And they say the Godhead is three persons. Amen. Now, there's many wonderful, good people that believe this because it's simple to understand. Well, I understand, you know, my dad, and I understand my brother, you know, a father and a son, and I understand this, so they make these three things into person. Now, so number one, for me to make the Father a person, I'm in biblical error already. The Father came and dwelled in the fullness in Jesus Christ, the personification or the person of God. Amen? And it came without measure. But the Bible said the Father is invisible. Does anybody know an invisible person? You see, it doesn't fit. Even though through Christology and when you look at the etymology of some of these words, you know, like person, it's truly changed in our time and day. The word person through etymology changed to now, honestly, it can be used as something in the spirit dimension. So they could say that their doctrine is correct now, but they did that to modify because they were challenged too many times by spirit-filled people. So they changed the wording for they could be accepted in their doctrine. But the doctrine is of the devil. And it comes through Catholicism, the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church. I'm sorry if you're Catholic, but your doctrine is of the devil. The Bible said if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. So I don't have a problem calling, you know, black, black, and white, white, so to speak. And the thing is the doctrine of the Catholic Church will put you into eternal damnation. So are you saying all Catholics are going to hell? I didn't say that. There's some of them, by the grace of God, that are there, but when they hear the Word of God, the Word will draw them out, and it'll separate them from the wretchedness and the perversion of Catholic doctrine. And now there was a time that the universal church, Catholicism or Catholic, has to do with the universal church. And there was a time that this universal church comes straight forth from Jesus Christ, and they were teaching, but they started taking the ways of men and the mind of men, and they started modifying it and changing it from the original word. And again, as Jesus said, if they bring any other doctrine, let them be accursed. And when you start teaching that you could pray to Mary, or to St. Christopher, or to St. Thomas, you violated the scriptures and the word. There's one mediator between God and man, and it's Jesus Christ and him alone. And when you think you can go to his, say, mother, and you could talk to the mother, and remember, they say that she's the mother of God. That's a lie from hell. She is not the mother of God. Amen. God has no beginning, no end, and the Bible says that he has no mother. So you say, well, whose mother was she? If we're going to talk about it, I'm not speaking disrespectful of the Virgin Mary. By no means, we should honor and reverence her. But she was the mother of the Son of Man. Jesus made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, both Son of God. So we got to make it twain. You understand that? In one dimension, the Son of Man could say that Joseph was his father. He adopted, we could say, for our terminology's sake. And you know, and he looked to him. And I'm sure that Joseph offered correction and thanks to him as a little boy, trying to bring him up. But we know who his father was. Amen. So we say God the Father. Amen. So we find the Bible says that the Father's invisible, that no man is seen. But when Jesus is walking among men, they said, when will we see the Father? And he said, well, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? And so he said, well, that's a controversy in the scriptures. No, it is in your mind of a lack of doctrine and understanding through the mind of differentiation. Okay, the Bible said to study, to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. What does that mean? Study to show yourself approved, a workman who not need be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Now, anytime you find something being divided, is usually not a positive thing. Because things that are divided, you know, a nation divided against itself cannot stand according to the word. But here it's telling us to divide the word of God. So what is that trying to say to us? You know, we got to get a dimensional understanding. And the Bible is very dimensional. If we go to the book of Old Testament, we're looking at shadows. We go to the book of the New Testament, we're looking at the object of worship, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We go over to the book of Revelations, and it's showing the light. So when you take a light and you shine it upon an object, the object makes a shadow. And if you go to the Old Testament and you go over to look at, say, Joseph as an example, he is a shadow of everything Jesus. He was rejected by his family. He was put in prison. Amen. As he come out of prison, amen, cleaned him up, and they said he come forth clean shaven, amen. It showed a change over from the doom and the gloom and the despair allegory now. And they bring him out, and he brings salvation to his own brothers, his own family that reject him and sold him off into slavery, amen, and become a leader. Had all this power to lead a nation, even when he was in prison. He was showing the Lord Jesus Christ an allegory of that. You know, we speak about allegories so oftentimes as we see the Hebrew children coming out of Egypt. Darkness, bondage, slavery. That's you in your first birth. I don't care if you're white, brown, yellow. You show darkness, amen. The Bible said light being formed within darkness. I'm a white man. I show darkness in my first birth. I got light emanating from me. Light eradicates darkness. So through the transformation of mind, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. So through the transformation of mind, I'm bringing myself into uprightness. Righteousness in Christ. Amen. Through the transformation of mind. Okay, the spirit is the quickening. The first man, Adam, being a living soul. The second man, Adam, being a quickening spirit. So the spirit within me is a quickening spirit. Amen. So this quickening spirit that is dwelling within us is upright in righteousness already. It's perfect. It cannot sin. The Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. And it goes on to say, why? Because the seed that remaineth in you keepeth you from sin. I'm born of the Spirit. Amen. Just as Jesus was born of the Spirit. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. So when I speak about myself as a blood-bought, born again, child of God, new creature in Christ Jesus, I speak of a man that is hid away in Christ. He said, where I am, you'll be there also. Amen. Hid in, sealed in. The Bible said, nothing could be laid to my charge. Amen. There's no death nor hell that could pluck me out of the hands of God. And this is the way I speak. Okay, so I speak through the profession, Jesus Christ being the high priest of my profession. I speak through the profession of what he's done for me. He put my name in the book of life before the world ever was. Amen. Amen. Predestination. And we'd have to get into another thought here today, and we could speak about predestination, a very misunderstood topic along the religious world. He said, well, you speak like you know it all. I don't know anything, but I do have a Holy Ghost. The Bible said we have an unction from him to know all things. And the Bible said the wicked don't know. Amen. I'm not going to be numbered with the wicked. Amen. So the thing is, I'm not sitting here projecting myself of being anything. I'm projecting myself to be the least of all and trying to love people and help people and guide them into the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible commands all of us to do. Amen. We're supposed to be going to the lost, to the heathen, having a love for the heathen. Amen. And we don't feel like we gain power by showing somebody else's ignorance. That's politics. When a man runs for an office on the grounds and makes the other guy no good, well, I'm running for governor, you know, but this other guy running against me, man, he smoked dope in college. You know, he had 17 girlfriends in college. He was a conscientious objector. Okay, so you're telling me all this guy's problem, but tell me why you're running. But what they'll do is let him destroy the other man, and then they'll go to him, and he's worse. Amen? Right. Are you with me? Amen. This happens in church. This is the mind of man. And people say, oh, this guy ain't no good. He ain't right. Well, you know, we find in the scriptures that there were many men exposed. The Bible said, number them. Amen. When a brother walks disorderly, number them. And there's some that the Bible teaches to put them out. Amen. And to bring them to repentance is what the hope is, that they'll see that they've been exiled or put out or excommunicated. And they get put out and they feel all of a sudden alone and they've missed their brotherhood. And they're going to make the alterations and changes in their life. And they're going to come back into the house of God. That's the purpose of doing that. It's not trying to be self-righteous or better than them. It's trying to love people and say, this won't be tolerated. The Bible said two can't walk together. Let's say in agreement if you want to walk in the world. Amen. If you want to be partakers of the affairs of the world, I can't walk with you. The only thing I know to do is to put you out. I'm going to first try to teach you, help you, love you. But if you're going to reject the counsel of the Lord, then what are you doing here? We're here to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And if you're going to reject this, then I can't help you. Amen. Go somewhere and find, you know, the flavor of whatever you're looking for. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, so when we speaking about doctrine, it seems like we go to the Godhead. And the thing is there's such a misunderstanding of the Godhead, amen, that this makes many things in the scriptures and the word where people stumble with understanding and revelation of things, or do they have the real perspective. I had a good preacher friend of mine. I traveled with him for years, preaching the gospel. He was a great influence on me in the early years of Christianity in the early years of coming to ministry. He gave me opportunities. He was the first man to put me behind a pulpit or a sacred desk to preach the gospel. The man, I've got great respect for him. He was the guy that was banging on my door when I was on weekends and wasn't at work, and when I was, you know, smoking pot or doing whatever heathens do or drinking. This man come over knocking on my door. He'd come in my house. I'd slide the pot underneath the table out of respect or underneath the couch. And he'd sit down and start talking to me. He said, why don't you pray? I'm thinking, okay. You start praying, some start moving around in there. So now all of a sudden this guy coming around, I'd be downtown with some of my buddies standing down there with a Budweiser in my hand or whatever they had or whatever we had. It don't matter. Still of the devil, devil juice. And I'd see the guy come driving around. And man, I'd set it over. starting to get under conviction because of a man that was called a Baptist. Amen. Because the man was reaching to win souls. And all of a sudden I started coming under conviction. I started putting things away. Started sending my children to church. Well, you know, if I'm going to be a heathen, at least I'll get my kids in church. Then I started getting the little evangelists coming home. Well, Daddy, you can't do that. You need to be in church, Daddy. Praise God. Amen. They all had a part and a role in it. Amen. Looking again to the scriptures, it seemed like we go to the Godhead, and that separates many people. Because some people believe a three-person God. Amen. So if I make the Father a person, and the originality of the word person, as I started to say a moment ago, if we stay with the originality, it has to do with something that's out of the mortal realm. Something has to do with the earth, and man was made out of the clay of this earth, or the dust, or the dirt. Amen. And he was molded, and God breathed into his nostrils and made him, amen, a living soul. Okay? Now, when you're birthed in the spirit, it's different. It's the saving of the soul, but then when we come into the spirit realm, we're birthed of the spirit. So we identify these things down through the body, soul, and spirit, the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, the natural, physical, and spiritual, the first, second, and third heaven. Amen. Justification, sanctification, glorification. And this is the way we put all these things together. And we look in that and you say, well, man, some of those things are complicated or hard to understand. Well, the thing is this what we're learning and pressing for? Understanding, revelation, that we could put everything into its proper perspective. And we could walk and submit to each dimension as we need. You see, in the natural realm, you know, the Bible says if we go to the first heaven perspective, speaking of the earth, and it said, you know, to you that harm the earth, he said he'll bring judgment to you. So we need to honor and protect the earth. I say, oh man, are you going to vote the green thing, Brother Bob, or whatever? Yeah. Well, we're not going to go that far. But people don't have no value of the earth. Or even the Lord, when we get in the first dimension, if you're cutting trees and removing timber for properties or things like that, and it says if this nest is in that tree and there's still babies and stuff in that nest, it said leave that one standing until the little birds are gone. See, there's God concerned for so many things. And many times we don't care because the love of money is the root of all evil. So people aren't going to pay attention to those. But there's many things that we need to fulfill to an earthly perspective. If we're, you know, there was a time, you know, nowadays we depend on Walmart being open for livelihood. Huh? We go there and we get our fruits and vegetables and meats, whatever we got. But there was a time that people had to take care of the earth. You know, the Bible said to plant and stuff and then let it sit for a year, a seventh year, and let it sit dormant and rest. And you know, science has proven that what happens in regenerating that soil and different things, and now you're letting it sit and rest. Everything fits the same pattern. You know, me as a man, I'm supposed to rest. Amen? You know, Sabbath was made for the man, not man for the Sabbath. You know, and it gives us a rest. You know, but then what, we could turn that into a law. And we could, you know, the Bible, New Testament, I said, man, you esteem one day greater than another. He said, I'm afraid of you. So we're always looking to find the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ in all aspects. So again, when we look at person and they make God into a three-person Godhead, then I would make you into a three-person individual yourself. So now the thing is when your spirit leaves your body, what is the body? Dead, according to the word. Amen? So the spirit is the life force. You know, they'll say, well, the life's in the blood. Well, in the physical realm, you remove the blood and the body dies. In the first dimension, the water world, water, blood, and spirit. And in the water dimension, if you take water away from everything out here relative to this earth, it dies. Trees die without water. Plants die. Grass die. Everything relative to that dimension, it's a water life. In blood life, you remove the blood and it dies. Amen. But we're over in spirit life. It's not by the blood. The blood was shed for the atonement to bring us into that spirit dimension. So when I look at things in a physical dimension or the second heaven or the soul realm, Amen is a man. That's where the warfare, that's where the struggle is, and that's where the fight's at. Now, is the reason we teach doctrines of differentiation, because if you don't understand it, then you think the word of God is inaccurate. Okay? Now, the Bible said there's no marriage or given to marriage when it's speaking about heaven. Anybody ever read that? Correct? And it said there's no Greek nor Jew, no male nor female. So then we go over in the book of Revelations and we read over there and we find that there is a woman in heaven. Now, in another scripture, it said there's no male nor female and there's no marriage or given to marriage there, but this woman is in travail to bring forth a child. I know this is not new doctrine to many of you, but we're speaking to people. These messages go out and we're trying to help people get a foundation. And to get their foundation right, they're trying to build on mysteries and secrets and going into these deep revelations. They haven't got their foundational facts down. Amen. So it's my obligation to get you a good foundation to build upon. Amen. Again, looking in these perspectives, dimensions, rending them, breaking them apart, understanding there's a law and an order and a order to every single dimension that we go through. So we see that this woman in heaven to bring forth a child, and the Bible said there's no male nor female nor given marriage there. So then what is this woman that's in heaven when the Bible says there is no woman in heaven? So the only way we could righteously understand this is understanding that there's a first, second, third heaven. And somebody say, well, you don't have no Bible for that. Well, surely I do. I'm not going to come in here and teach people something of some kind of theory. Even though you'll let your kids go to college and they'll sit through the theories of so many things, you know, and you talk about Darwinism. You know, well, I got this theory that there was a big firecracker went off in space and you came from some, you know, little wiggly thing in a mud puddle. Well, that's his theory. I'm not basing my existence or your existence on a theory. I know exactly what happened, the creator of all things. Amen. The Alpha and the Omega, the one that has no beginning and end, came over this hunk of dirt called this earth, that rock out there. And it says it was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And he started speaking existence into this. You know, the Bible doesn't teach that this rock's 6,000 years old, but that's standard religion. So people go over with their, you know, scientific studies and say, man, this rock is, you know, 6 billion years old. Man, praise God, I got no problem with that. It might be 600 billion years old. That doesn't violate the scriptures, not one iota. It said it was without form. The earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over and he started speaking, amen, started speaking things, letting it divide, you know, the firmaments. Amen. And he started bringing something that could be utilized for mankind. So if you want to talk about the existence of man, you know, if you want to go to 6,000 years, okay, I'm all right with that, if that's what you want to do. But my Bible said that the sons of God were leaping for joy before the foundation of this world. So what are you going to do with that? So you're going to say, well, I'm spirit, I came into existence. Well, you say God came into existence 2,000 years ago because God with us, Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where was he at before Jesus? Amen. He was spirit. Amen. And no man had seen him. So here we are, we're differentiating dimensional perspectives and talking about there's an earthly dimension. There's a spiritual dimension. And there's a soul that runs in the middle, and it's partaking of both. Now, I'm going to say some things that will seem like I'm contradicting the Bible, but I'm not. I'm contradicting your understanding. So the Bible said that we can't miss light and darkness. Anybody agree with that? I do. Come on now. So where do you apply that, in which realm? I apply it in all. But we have to get an understanding. The thing is, there's no darkness in the third heaven. Because the spirit of light, we're the children of light. We're the children of day. We're not the children of darkness. We were born as the children of darkness, shaping in iniquity. Amen. Now, in our first birth, we are darkness. I don't care if you're white, brown, black. I don't care. You're darkness. But in the new conversion or in this birth in the spirit, you're not darkness. You're a child of light. Amen. So now we're making you twain. Both Lord and Christ. Jesus, both Lord and Christ. Both Son of Man, both Son of God. So when I speak by my heavenly Father, I speak a certain way. When I speak by my natural father, I speak of another way. My natural father inherited many iniquities, many things, many attributes from my natural father. This is why fathers need to impart good attributes in their children. They should start trying to transform themselves and get rid of some of them nasty, ignorant habits. And most of us, about time we get enough wisdom and understanding to see these things, we've done impart them into our children. Then we got to watch our children go through the same ignorant struggles and the foolishness that we did. Sad to say. But if we would serve God while we're in our youth, like the Bible says, and we start trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and transformate our mind, then we could spare our children. I've marriage counseled many people over the years, and I got a husband and wife, and I'm trying to counsel them. And pretty soon I see they don't really care about each other. And it's very obvious. That's why they're barking at each other all the time, why they're beating heads all the time, this and that. And I said, okay, I'm not going to counsel you for you two, but can I counsel you for your children? Because you're destroying your children. Because you know what? That little beautiful daughter here is going to have the same wretched, stinking marriage that you got with no love in it. And that little boy of yours is going to have the same wretched marriage that you got, because you're the example and he's watching you and he's got the same attributes. He's going to treat his wife like trash because you treat your wife like trash because you trained him and taught him. So see, if we could transform our minds and we could start walking in the ways of Christ and the ways that are biblical, then maybe we could see our children walking in it. Like my Bible said, raise them up in the way that they should go. You think that means just going to church? It means that you are the church, you are the word, you are the manifestation of the sons of God, and they should see the attributes of Christ in you. God, help us all. Amen. We've all failed. Amen. You know, we get to preach up here preaching and seem to be reproving and rebuking. You think, oh, yeah, you know, hey, I got to hear this too. You know, I got to line up too. I got to transform my mind also. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes we can get so polished, you know, we think, oh, we walk around with this fake polishness about us. You know, oh, I got everything together. Man, you scare me. Boy, I got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, man. You know, man, I'm done drawed slap up because all men's hearts are fashioned alike, and I know you're in a travail and a warfare. Oh, you might conquer this and you might conquer that. But what else is laying there in the camp? What hasn't been purged by the fire of the Holy Ghost? Amen? The fire of the Holy Ghost is going to purge. Amen? So we find ourselves speaking about this dimensional perspective of the first, second, and third heaven. We find ourselves looking over into the heavens, and we find a woman there. And we find a red dragon there. Now, we know that the red dragon, the devil himself, was cast out of heaven. Anybody ever read that in the Bible? Okay, but now we find him in heaven, and there's a woman there bringing forth a child. Amen? Now, we can differentiate this thing down and talk about what this woman is, who it is, and what she represents. You can say, well, that woman, we could say, we could talk about Israel. We could talk about Jews. See, that's another dimension. You see, they're the elect of God in the natural dimension. This is why they didn't see him in invisible dimension. When Jesus told them, he said, hey, my kingdom's without observation. They're wanting to set up a king right now on the throne there and rule and run the Roman influence slap out of Israel. That's what the zealots wanted to do. But he said, hey, this isn't my kingdom. That's not what my kingdom's about. Now we're the spiritual elect, okay, the elect of God. But that doesn't mean that he forgot about his natural elect. Amen. Now, the other night when we were teaching, you know, we talked about, you know, when Jesus ascended up off the Mount of Olivet. Amen? And when he ascended up, he said, why you gaze here into the air? In like manner that you've seen him go, he's going to come back. So it's now the church, because of their lack of mind, of understanding. I'm not going to speak against the body of Christ, the elect lady. Don't misunderstand. But I'm talking about the apostate church, religion of our day and hour. For you can differentiate. I'm always differentiating things. But this apostate church, when they think, listen to me, when they think of God coming, they go back to that particular scripture. In like manner that you've seen him go, he's going to come back in like manner. So they're sitting around for 2,000 years. God has left them. Oh, someday he's coming back. They got problems. And oh, someday he's coming back for us. But that's not Bible. The Lord told them when he was here, when we're talking about this great commission in Matthew 28, and he said, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we know what the name of the Father is, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus. Those are titles. The church goes out and baptizes you in the name of titles. That's gross error. If you were baptized in the name of the Father, in the title of Father, in the title of Son, and baptized in the name of title, Holy Ghost, I'm sorry. There's no remission of sin in that. The Bible said there's only one name given among men that thou shalt be saved, and it's the name Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, this is some of the things that we're speaking about here this morning. But as I talk about people looking for Jesus coming back, he's coming back to the Jew that way. And when he comes back and every eye will see him, we got it portrayed here in this picture, here on a white horse, all the saints will be coming back with him. Well, when do they get up there? When do all these saints get up there to come back with him? I'm already there. Amen. You say, no, Brother Rob, come on, man. See, this is where people will not understand. They'll fight and challenge you. But then yet I go to the scriptures and said that where he is, we're there also. Now, when we're speaking by the Spirit, the mans don't see the things of the Spirit. Jesus said, though you have eyes, you don't see. Okay, but I'm talking to people that are supposed to have eyes to see. So, well, where are you at, Brother Rob? I'm in heaven. And you say, man, you're right here. I'm looking at you right here. Well, this is the first heaven. So if you're seeing me through these physical eyes of the second heaven, and you're looking at me as a man, the Bible said to know no man after the flesh. Amen. Don't know him after his aging, after his hair loss, after those things, known by the Spirit. Amen. So here we are differentiating man again. We're making him twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and both Son of God. So I said, I speak about my natural father, and I said, oh, wretched man that I am, these iniquities I inherited. Some of you got dads that, you know, he's working on some that don't work out. He slings the wrench through the wall, and he cusses and curses, kicks the car. You know, guess what the kid's doing later? Same thing. Why? Dad taught him that. That's an iniquity, a trained thing. That's not pleasing to God. I hear one amen. How many old me's we got in here? Amen. So I got a heavenly father. Amen. He wants to impart into me the same thing of righteousness, holiness, godliness, virtue, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness. Amen. To do good to them that despitefully use you and hate you. Amen. When they ask you to go a mile, go an extra one. Amen. So now my spiritual father is wanting me to do something different than my natural father. My spiritual father says, esteem them better than yourself. Seek after their prosperity. Seek after their businesses. Seek after their well-doing. My natural father says, hey, man, kid, you ain't going to have nothing unless you fight and press. And he taught me how to be a man. Taught me how to be an entrepreneur. Taught me how to work. Taught me how to press and to make money. But my spiritual father said, hey, he started dealing with me different. You know, the poor receive me gladly, but the rich are haughty and they answer haughtily. Amen. It's a wide, broad path to destruction. Man, I could gain this whole world, my spiritual father says, and lose my soul. What did I prosper? Nothing. So I find this warfare between my fathers. Amen. I find this warfare between a natural man born in this world and of blood and of spiritual man that's born by the Spirit. Amen? And I find this continual warfare, as the Apostle Paul said. Who's going to deliver me from this? Who's going to deliver me from this thing? The things I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things that I find myself doing are the things I really don't want to do. He's speaking by the Spirit and speaking by the man. So here you are. Well, praise God, preacher. You know, back in 1919, you know, I said the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus in my heart, praise God for you. I love you. Well, back in 1977, Brother Rob, I was at such and such meeting. I got baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, Lord, what have you done since then? You know, I praise God for those experiences. But why were you filled with the Holy Ghost? For you could talk in tongues? If that's all your Holy Ghost experience is, I don't like you. And you make me sick. Because you go around babbling about things that nobody understands when you should be talking clear to people. He said, I'd rather hear five tangible words of prophecy as hear you talk in tongues all day. But we go to church, oh, we fulfilled. Shut up. You make me stink and sick. And you say, man, don't you mock the Holy Ghost? If that's the Holy Ghost, it needs mocked. And it is not the Holy Ghost. God is not mocked. Brother, the Holy Ghost is power. He said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. You think that's power? Power, brethren, is to come out of the world and be ye a separate people. Power is to put that man down, put it under your feet. Power is to mortify your deeds, your will, your action, your wants. That's the power of God. He gave us the power to deny that man. And we do it every day. We mortify that man every single day. We kill out his wishes, his wants, his desires, and his ambitions. And you say, well, if we kill him all out, when we're nothing. Praise God for that. You're supposed to be dead and no longer live, and now Christ live. And now it's not your will, but his will. Now we're talking. You understand that? We're talking about the transformation from the first heaven to the third heaven. And on the way of transformation, when you leave the first as a man, shaping in iniquity, after the earth coming from the dust of the earth, which you go back to the dust, you're going to go through this transformation realm. Amen. Allegorically speaking, we've seen them come out of Egypt and they got out there in the wilderness. That's what your whole life is, my friend, a wilderness. Amen. And you're in a wilderness wandering. And in the wilderness, what did they see? They saw manna coming down from heaven. They saw a rock giving forth life-giving water that they could survive and live. When they got tired of just eating the manna, they cried and bickered, so God gave them quail up to become a stench in their nostrils. We've seen the supernatural of God taking place when the sea parted. The water comes out of a rock, amen. The water was too bitter in one place, and they took a tree by the anointing of God, and they ran around it, and the water becomes sweet that they could drink. We see nothing but the supernatural move of God. So here we are in the second heaven. We see the supernatural things of God. We see healings. We see deliverances. We see these things. And we also see the devil. Because the devil has access into the second heaven. There's a warfare in the second heaven. Remember when we go there and he said, I show you a mystery, a secret. But he said he saw this red dragon in heaven to devour the woman and the child as soon as it was born. That's all second heaven, my friend. Has to do, the red dragon has to do with your blood life. A lot of people say, well, the devil this. It ain't the devil. Ain't even messing with you because you ain't even a threat to his kingdom. All you are is supporting it. You walk and you talk like the devil, so you ain't no threat to him. You live like the devil, you ain't no threat to him. You hang out with devilish people, you ain't no threat to his kingdom. But when you take your rightful place and walk upright in righteousness and holiness, now you're threatening the devil. You understand that? But there's so many men going to hell, and it isn't because of the devil. The Bible said the carnal mind, you know, is enmity with God. The carnal mind is death. And you're just in your simple carnal mind with the love for yourself and the love of yourself is going to hell. Amen. Those are the thoughts you cast down. The Bible said cast down every thought and every vain imagination and exalt itself before the knowledge of God. Come on, those are the things we put under our feet. My thoughts. I'm not here teaching you my thoughts. I'm teaching you the mind of Christ. And the Bible said, let this mind again be in you. Amen? Amen. Come on, what kind of mind is the mind of Christ? It's a mind that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You say, well, you can't become equal with God. Well, you just made the whole Bible a lie then. He said, let this mind be in you is also in Christ Jesus. And it's the mind that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, we come joint heirs with him, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one. In the flesh, it said. In the flesh. It didn't say in the spirit, it said one in the flesh. Now, you ain't going to understand that until you come to some kind of a dimensional revelation. Well, you know, my wife's come into my mind. I said, yeah, I know. I feel sorry for her. Jeez. Yeah. Well, we become one in the flesh. Yeah, you made her fleshly just like you, and she's going to hell with you. Yeah. I know I talk strong sometimes, brethren, but you know, going to hell isn't, you know, we're not going to play with that. Oh, it's okay, brother. God loves you just the way you are. You know, come on, man. He don't love you just the way you are. He told you to get cast that thing down, put it under your feet, mortify it, bury it. Amen. Make some changes, some alteration. Press your way in. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Pull out that sword of righteousness, that sword of truth. Pull that thing out. Get that shield of faith up to distinguish them fiery darts from the devil. Amen. I made a statement many years ago when they were pursuing Saddam Hussein over there in Iraq. And you know, you could pretty much at that time, it was all in the news media, anything could have went around America and the educational places, the colleges, the schools or whatever, and ask about anybody, hey, you know, Saddam Hussein is, oh yeah, man, he's that tyrant over there in, you know, Iraq, you know, and boy, he's a real problem. And you could have went over there to Iraq and asked anybody in that royal guard that he had and all those things, hey, you know who George Bush is? You know, and they'd say, oh yeah, man, he's pursuing us, man. He's got soldiers on the ground over here, man, and they're coming for us, and they knew. But you could have went over and they asked me, hey, Rob Coons, you know who Saddam Hussein is? I said, yeah, I know who that rascal is. But if he would have went over there to Saddam Hussein and asked him, said, hey, you know who Rob Coons is? No, I don't believe I do. But let me tell you something. If I was on his soil and I had me an army and I'm kicking his guard down and kicking his gates down and killing his soldiers, amen, and taking his land, he would know who I am. You remember in the seven sons of Sceva? And they said, I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that spirit come back and spoke and said, hey, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know, but who are you? You ain't no threat to me, sir, because you said the right name. You know, people think it's some magical thing about the name Jesus. You know, I adjure you, Satan, get behind me, devil. Get behind me in the name of Jesus. And that devil sit there and laugh at you. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Rob. There's authority and power in that name. I agree with that. But it's not a magical thing about the name. It's the virtue, the anointing, and the power. And when you've been filled by the Holy Ghost, because of that name, made it possible. Amen? Because that's the only way that your sins will be remitted is by that name. Amen? That's the authority that overcame and conquered death, hell, and the grave and abolished it and came forth. Amen. Now, if you go back into the book of Acts into the early church, if you remember when they started catching these disciples and beating them, they said, we're going to release you on one condition, that you go and speak that name no more. They knew that the power and the authority was in the resurrection, and we knew who was resurrected. It was Jesus Christ. He is the spirit of resurrection. Do you remember when Mary said to him, are you talking about in the resurrection? He said, I am the resurrection. And he went on to say that you and I, we are the children of the resurrection. What does that mean? We have been caught away in Christ, sealed in, hid away in him. Amen. We're the children of resurrection, brethren. And you say, well, you know, someday I'm going to go to heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll never see the transfiguration of this body or with the redemption of this body or what the church world calls rapture until your spirit man is already there. Are you with me, church? And when your spirit man is there, then it's transforming your mind in the second dimension. You're in the second dimension. You're transforming, growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen? And you're changing. Amen? You're casting things down, denying this and growing. You see, one's being killed, another one's coming alive. You know, the Bible said some 30, some 60, some 100. You say, well, you know, I'm satisfied with, you know, 30-fold. I said, you're a liar. So the Bible says all liars are going to go to hell, have their part in the lake of fire. All liars, it says that. And when you say, well, I'm satisfied with 30, you're a liar. Because if you were satisfied with a 30-fold in the spirit, that means you'd be satisfied with just breath going in and out your lungs right now. But that ain't enough. I want a bigger house. I want a faster car. Amen. I want a skinnier wife. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I just got to help you out just a little bit here. Amen. Man has desires and lust all the time. And when it comes to spiritual things and you say you have no desire, then you ain't part of the spirit world. You should have a hunger and a thirst to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Pressing your way into the kingdom, the Bible says. But you're under this lascivious doctrine. Amen? Lascivious doctrine. Of this Laodicean day move, people's rights. Well, I got the right. Ain't no preacher going to tell me how to live and act. Man, I got a right. I do what I want. You ain't got the right to go to hell. God sent the preachers in the earth to cry out against the wickedness of this generation and of these people. Amen. We can get into the seven spirits of God. We can get into the seven churches. Many times we refer to these churches as church ages. Do you realize that during these seven churches that the light is getting brighter? And we got Bible for that. And the light is getting brighter, so there's more of accountability, much given, much more required. And some of these church messengers from these previous generations of time, the things that they were teaching then, now listen to me, church, very closely. Amen, because they were progressing in the grace of God. And the churches had some biblical error in them, not the spirit of error. There's a difference between error and the spirit of error. Amen. So the thing is some of these saints they had to come forth out of. See, they came out of Catholicism, the Catholic Church. That's where the Protestant Church was birthed. But the very man that birthed the Protestant Church, amen, Brother Luther, has some doctrinal error in him. Do you realize that? He was a Catholic priest. But all of a sudden he said, wait a minute, this ain't right here. And he came out, put his life in danger. And you go down through these seven churches and some of these men that we recognize as being leaders of these moves of God through the years of time. Luther was a very important role. John Wesley, come over from England, right here to this country. Very important role. What, are you supporting the Methodist Church? Are you supporting the Friends Church? Are you supporting that? I support one thing, and it's Jesus Christ. I'm talking about some of these very important men that made very important doctrinal changes to the people through the transformation of the church ages or church time. We're growing in the grace and knowledge of God. And the Bible said it's going to get seven times brighter. When things get brighter, it exposes more darkness, and man starts getting rid of the darkness. I'm teaching things today, and it's right from the Bible, but former ministers in previous times without a doctrinal understanding would say, man, run from that Rob Coons. He's a cult. He's teaching you that you're gods. You say, are you teaching that, Brother Rob? Well, you call Satan the god of this world. You call him a god, but you're afraid to call a son of God a god? One that's been born again? I'm not calling myself a god as a man. Oh, wretched man that I am. You want to talk about man? And he's wretched. He's no good. All men's hearts fashioned alike. I ain't got nothing good to say about my man part. Amen. But I'm doing everything I can to transform him to come upright into righteousness that people can see good when good comes. Amen. But when I speak by the Spirit, I got another father. Amen. And when I was born of a man, a father, I'm a man. Isn't that right? I know Brother Elliot over here raises dogs. When he hears the dog yelping out there in the shed or whatever, knowing it's going to have pups, he don't go out there and expect to deliver pigs, does he? Hey, man, I got a schnauzer out there, man, and it gave birth this morning to a Shetland pony. Well, hey, that's cool. It don't happen that way, does it? A schnauzer gets a schnauzer. A pony gets a pony. A horse, a horse. A man, a man. A black man, a black man. A white man, a white man. Reproduce after its kind, right? Amen. Anybody ever go to the robins that had their little fling in the spring and go over and watch the egg and all of a sudden a blackbird come out? It ain't that way, is it? They reproduce after their kind. Amen. So my father, a white man, a cracker, amen. I'm part of that reproduction line, huh? Well, man, he got another cracker. Here I am. Amen. Oh, help us, Jesus. Okay, so now I'm born of God. So what am I then? If God is reproducing after his kind, what are we? We're born of the Spirit. God is Spirit. Now when Jesus was there, let's use him for an example. The Bible said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, Son of Man, Son of God. So here he is, the Son of Man. Okay, comes through a woman that was a virgin. And so it wasn't the blood seed of man that brought him here. Amen. But it was from the Father, our Heavenly Father. Amen. So his blood wasn't corrupted. Yours is. In your first birth, his wasn't. He had no sin. So there's some difference there, but he was the firstborn of many brethren. But let's speak about that. So now here we are, the bride of Christ. We're that woman that's in heaven. Bring forth a child. Amen. A place prepared for her. The second heaven, So here he said, I'm coming for my bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Okay? So I'm the bride of Christ. Bride is feminine. I know you live in a messed up world right now. They got all kinds of weird stuff going on when you're talking there. I'm speaking spiritually, man, by the things of God. Amen? So here I am, the woman, the bride. Amen? And the Bible said, it's the seed that keepeth you from sin. Ye that are born of God cannot sin. And it said that the seed remaineth in you that keep you. What is the seed? It comes from the Father, Spirit. Man brings forth a natural blood seed and reproduces man. God brings forth a spiritual seed that reproduces sons of God. Amen? Now, Jesus was walking among men as both Son of Man and both Son of God. So here he is, and these Pharisees come to him, and they're taking up stones to stone him. And he asked them, he said, hey, before you do this, for what good works have I done that you want to take and stone me? You can go read this in the gospel for yourself. You need to. So what good works have I done that you want to stone me? And they answered back and said, oh no, sir. It's not for the good works that we're going to stone you. It's a simple reason, a simple fact that you're a mere man making yourself to be God. That's why they wanted to stone him. So he was the firstborn of many brethren. They wanted to stone him. And when you teach what he taught, they're going to want to stone you. Oh, that Rob Coons is a call because he says he's a God. I'm not saying I'm a God by the natural means of flesh. I'm not in some serpent seed doctrine. I'm speaking by the Spirit. I'm born of God by the Spirit. I have a Father in the Spirit, and my Spirit's crying out, Abba, Father. That's Bible. Okay? So, man doesn't see that. Man doesn't see, nor understand, nor perceive. It's hid from the wise and the prudent, the Bible says. Amen? So here's Jesus, and he says to them, for what good works do you want to stone me? He said, not for the good works, because you're a mere man, make yourself to be God. What did he reply to them? He said, but brother, talking to a Pharisee, he said, but sir, Jesus speaking to him, he said, isn't it written that ye are gods? That's what it said in the word. And he goes on with an exhortation over in Psalms. He said, ye are gods, but you die like men. Why do they die like men? Because they don't understand. They lack knowledge. What am I doing here today? I'm bringing you to knowledge, revelation, understanding, to doctrine. You got to know who you are. You think you're just going to stumble your way into the kingdom of God? The Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. Press your way into the kingdom. You need to know the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And there's no other way to enter in. I'm the door. He said, there's no other way to enter in by him. Well, what does this door opening up to? You say, to heaven. And I say, okay, well, he's the door to open up in heaven. Then you want to tell me you're not in heaven? Did he close the door on you? Come on, man. We got to think in two different realms, two different dimensions. You want to speak it a man? You know, that's just kind of, oh gosh, I don't feel too hot today. I'm tired. My old body's wearing out. You know, come on, man, that's dead. I mean, it gets old, man. You get around them people all the time professing, oh, I'm just having a bad day. Yeah, you are a bad day. Let the weak say they're strong. Amen. Somewhere they need to change their profession. You know what? I feel good. And all of a sudden they wake up not feeling so good and they say, I feel good, good, good. And all of a sudden they start feeling good. Amen. You say, well, I tried that, brother. Yeah, but you keep on leaning to the other thing. I had a man come to me for marriage counseling. I said, a soft answer turns away wrath. Well, I tried that. Cussed his wife out 37 minutes. And then all of a sudden he goes, well, let me try God's way. Oh, honey, it's okay. And she punches him in the face. It didn't work, brother Rob. You know, people are stupid. You know, I'm sorry, you know. Brother Rob, I tried that garden, man. I went out there and, you know, took a shovel, stuck it in the ground. I put that thing and stomped on it, man, and I didn't get no harvest. Yeah, you didn't prep the soil. You know, you didn't plow the ground. You didn't water it. You didn't get the tares out of the way. You know, and you're just going to come into this kingdom. Oh, everything's praise God. Hallelujah. Give me another Budweiser. Praise be to God. Jesus loves me just the way that I am. Let's go down here and party a little bit more. And let's go hang out and watch the Braves game. I don't know what they call them here in this state. What do they call them? The Blackbirds? What do they call them people? Oh, the Black Dogs. I mean, the cat thing. It's a cat. Black cat. Panthers. Thank you. I want to make sure I identify the devil properly. Amen. Well, I like them Panthers. And I say, yeah, I know you do because you're a Black Panther too, you reprobate. You say, come on, Brother Rob, ease up a little bit, man. I know some good friends, good Christian brothers, man. They shut the church down for the Super Bowl. Yeah, well, praise God for them. Amen. Probably the best doctrine that went forth in that church. I'll tell you, I'd rather sit and watch a Super Bowl game in a church that's listening to some reprobate pastor don't know what he's talking about. And I don't got no interest in watching a Super Bowl, but I'd rather watch that as hear the spew coming out of that reprobate's mouth. Lying to people, false doctrine, teaching people. When you're a pastor and you go into a church and he says, oh, brothers and sisters, you're all sinners and you sin every day. Well, the Bible said you're either a sinner of your father, the devil. I'm not going to teach the people in this church that they're of the devil. I'm going to teach them that they've been born of God and God loves them and chose them and put their name in the book of life before the world ever was. Predestined them, amen. And they need to fight the good fight of faith and press their way into the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what I'm going to teach them. And that Jesus' blood was good enough to do away with their sin. His shed blood was enough to wash away their sin. And if his blood wasn't good enough, tell me what is. So if you're going to walk around and keep on professing that you're a sinner and sin every day, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says to you. It says you're of your father, the devil. That's the Bible. Amen? It said when you sin, you're of your father, the devil. And you say, well, you don't sin, Brother Ron. I can't. That's what the Bible said. You say, well, wait a second. The Bible does say that all were shapen in iniquity and all were born into sin. Yeah. Oh, you want to talk about my first birth? Yes, I was born as a sinner. And it was appointed on me to go back into damnation and hell. Amen. You want to talk about that old wretched man that I was? Or if I'm going to speak by the man, old wretched man that I am? But I'm going to speak by the Spirit. Jesus Christ is the high priest of my profession. And he said, think on these things, the things from above. What's above? The kingdom of God. And the victory in Jesus. That's the way we speak and talk. If we just talk around, oh, I'm no good. Yeah, I ain't worth the powder to blast me into hell. And I say, you're right. I'm agree with you. Just for him, light that thing for you and get out of my sight. Get out of my way. You say, that sounds mean, preacher. Well, the meanness is what you're doing is by evil communications corrupting good manners and you're taking the people to hell with you. Well, you know, I love Brother Rob, but I just don't agree with this. Well, then go find you a preacher that you can agree with. You better get in one mind and one accord and get in unity of the Spirit. That's one of the main principles of God. Well, I just don't like you. I don't either. I've been trying to keep that dude dead for a long time. Mortify that guy out, man. Get rid of him. This ain't about Rob Coons here. I don't have Rob Coons' doctrine. I don't have Rob Coons' church. This is the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is your church. It's a place that we could come together. And the thing is I happen to be the pastor here right now. And I'm going to preach the word according to what I understand to the best of my ability by the grace of God. Amen. And I'm going to teach doctrine. I got pastor friends say, well, I don't preach doctrine, Brother Rob. You know, doctrine sets people apart. Praise God. It's supposed to. It's supposed to separate us. Come out of the world and be a separate people. How do you do that? By coming to doctrine. Amen. That's doctrine. Amen. Touch not. You know, we're not going to be partakers of those things. We're going to come out. Amen. I know I said many things here this morning, and I'll look for a place to square some of these things up. It would take much time. So we made a little bit of an introduction to the first, second, third heaven. We talk about these things oftentimes. People don't understand them. Amen? So we talk about, as I said, you know, we think of Mary, the Virgin Mary. Jesus washed me in his blood, made me without spot, wrinkle, or blemish as a chaste virgin. Amen? So I'm like Mary in one dimension. Okay? When you look at things by the Spirit, all flesh is feminine. Man and woman, they all came from the same thing, from the dust of the earth. And they all show the same thing, but they show feminine. The Spirit shows masculine. Amen? Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. So the thing is the Lord has married unto me. The Bible says that the woman, New Testament doctrine, is saved in childbearing. Now I can go over into the Old Testament. The Bible said that, speaking of Eve, she was in the transgression and in the fallen Adam wasn't. But Adam partook in the perspective for the salvation of woman, just as Jesus had no sin, but he went and was partakers of your sin, amen, that you could have life, and he took the punishment. So the first man, Adam, was showing an allegory of the second man, Adam, in this way of thought. So if you can get in the mind of Christ for a moment, then you could look at all flesh and see it in the feminine gender. So you, Mr. Masculine Man, all buffed out and polished up, you got to remember that he's coming for his wife, his bride, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. She said, well, they're not married yet. Well, if they're not married yet, then that makes you a bastard child, not knowing who your father is. And I'm not a bastard child. I've been born of God. And if I've been born of God, speaking in the present tense, that means to come forth in God, because he's pure and clean and holy, that there already had to be a marriage. And the Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery, that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. So the thing is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen, married me as the bride that was pure and clean. And there's a relationship that began, amen, not taken into a physical thing as you and man on this earth, but it's a spiritual revelational thing. And in this thing with this pure woman, if you go to the allegories of the Old Testament, the woman went through ritualistics and washings and different kind of things that she could come in before the king. Well, the King of Kings, before you go into the secret chambers, into him, I should say, you have to go through the washing and regeneration. And this happened by the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he washed you and made you pure. You go into the secret chambers with him. Amen. And this is where you receive the seed that keepeth you. So see, now if you listen to me, I'm speaking as a bride in one perspective, and I'm speaking as a son of God in another perspective. Okay, so where did the thing? So there was, in the second heaven, there was this red dragon there to devour the child just as soon as it was born. Are you with me, church? Please, this isn't boring. You say, well, I already know this, and why don't you live it? Why don't you walk in it? The Apostle Paul said, I'm trying to speak to you as unto spiritual, and you should be teaching these things. And some of you think, well, I know these things. But it isn't, you have something crossed up somewhere in there because you're not walking in them. Amen. And you're yielding over to the flesh. Amen. And that should be gone and buried. So when we look in the woman as Eve, and we see her in the transgression, and the Lord says, again, New Testament doctrine, woman saved in childbearing. Adam wasn't in the transgression. He said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, the best thing I could do is wipe this wretched woman off the earth. Now, God could have said that. But you know, Adam would have had a problem there, wouldn't he? Because he had something to fulfill in the gospel, or by the word of God. He said, go and replenish this earth, you know, bring forth and do this. And if they remove the woman, he couldn't do it. So now you come to the doctrine. It said the woman saved in childbearing. Now you women might sit there and go, man, they're making us just some kind of thing. We should be ruling the world. You are. The flesh is ruling the world. That's why God's getting ready to destroy it. Amen. There's an order in God. Amen. Amen. There's a subjection, a submission, and an order. In marriage, in the spirit, I'm the bride of Christ. I'm submitting to God. So if I'm preaching a doctrine like, you woman, you got to submit to your husband, I do too. Yes. You understand that? Well, we're stepping into another dimension. You know, a man walks around, man, I'm the man, shut up, woman, this and that. Well, God's going to treat you the same way. You're going to be some brute beast over your wife. Shut your mouth. You got no say so. God's going to treat you the same way. Come on, the Bible teaches this. God's not mocked. What a man sows is what he reaps. And if I'm going to be brutal to my wife and shut your mouth this and that, God's going to be the same way to me. Come on now. So here we are. We're looking at some things. So we see Eve saved and childbearing for man could replenish the earth. And we come on down and God repented that he made man. Anybody ever read that? Okay. Now he could have wiped man off the face of the earth, but he chose a plan of salvation and redemption. Amen. By the washing and regeneration through the blood of Jesus Christ, speaking of the bride, made her whole and pure and godly and clean. And now he could enter into his bride and the bride enter into him. The Bible said we're in him and he's within us and we become one. So we find in the bride dimension that we're pure and clean. We go into the secret chambers. We find this seed. The red dragon was there to devour. Has to do with your first birth. Showing this blood life, struggling and fighting, and then here comes the heir to the throne, the sons of God. Jesus being the firstborn of many brethren. And we're going to rule with him, brethren. So as you say, well, so now let me make sure I understand you, preacher. So you're telling me that you're a woman. Well, that's real popular in 18, huh? 19, I guess we're in. But yes, he's coming back for the bride. He's already came.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Now the church says, well, you know, he hasn't come back for us yet. Well, the thing is if he didn't come back, then where did the child come from? He said, go ye then, tarry there until you're endued with power. What is the power? The Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 1 John 5, it said, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. And it goes on and talks about the water, blood, and the Spirit. And it said, these three agree in one. Okay, so we got to keep our dimensions correct. You say, well, are you the bride of Christ or are you the son of God? I made myself twain. Are you a man or a son of man or a son of God? I make myself twain. You say, well, that's confusing. Well, Jesus said it. He made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both son of man, son of God. And we're supposed to be attributes of Christ. We're supposed to be Christians, means Christ-like. So if he done it and you can't, amen. So he said, we're the children of the resurrection. We're the children of light. We're the children of God. Amen. Come on, so now we got to know, so we're rending some dimensional perspectives. So when God repented that he made man, he sees man in a feminine perspective, so he makes a plan of salvation to preserve man. Why? For God could reproduce his image. Yes. That's the whole plan of it, the whole purpose of it. And it goes all back into a oneness. You understand that? Yes. All back in. One God, one faith, one baptism. Brother Pike used to say like this. He said, you take a telescope, and to see afar off, you got to project it out into a 1, 2, 3, and you look way out there. And then when you're looking up close, you bring it back into oneness. Amen. And we project things out through a body, a soul, and a spirit. You understand that? Between a Father, a Word, and a Holy Ghost. Between a natural, physical, and spiritual. Between a first, second, third heaven. When we understand the order of each one. Amen. So I speak by the first heaven, I speak by the second heaven, and I speak by the third heaven. When I speak by the third heaven, I'm born of God and I cannot sin.
Amen.
And I'm hid away and sealed in. He made me perfect. Somebody said, nobody's perfect. Well, you ain't read your Bible. He said, be ye perfect even as your master in heaven is perfect. Okay, but then yet he sent the fivefold ministry in for protecting the saints. How can a fivefold ministry perfect a saint when Jesus already perfected them by his works at Calvary? The perfection's in the spirit. But we got to take the woman, amen, through the transformation of mind, got to bring the perfected works of Christ into a manifestation, into a revelation. Amen. You say, well, you know, I preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I say, that's the problem is you're preaching it and you're not it. There's a difference of preaching the revelation and speaking the revelation and being the revelation. Revelation is revealing. Revealing of what? Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? So we're the sons of God. We are salvation to the people of this world. You say, man, you can't say that, Brother Rob. Well, the Bible said you're bone of bone and flesh of flesh. Amen? He said, what you do the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto him. So where's your Jesus that's supposed to be saving these people today? We're the body of Christ.
Amen?
So if we're the body of Christ, And the last commission that we started talking about here a little bit, he says, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name, in A-M-E, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, if you go look for the fulfillment in the book of Acts, nobody in the book of Acts in one place baptized anybody in titles. They went down and they proclaimed, I hereby baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. No other name given among men. Except Jesus Christ. It's the only name that blots out sin. The only name with all power and authority. Amen? So, Catholicism is the one that the early church was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Catholicism changed that over at the Nicene Council, and they changed it, and they got into a dispute. As science was coming in, the Bible says science falsely so-called, and they got into speaking about a new thing called matter. Solids, liquids, and gases. So they're trying to take and apply all this over the spirit realm. So they came to a revelation at the Nicene Council when they made also a change that the priests could no longer marry. Amen? Now, Paul did say, hey, man, you'd be better off not to if you can, but hey, but you'd be better off to marry is burning your passions. He didn't forbid the priest to marry, but the Catholic Church did. That's why we got a bunch of pedophiles and perverts over there. Amen. They'd have been better off to get him a wife instead of a little altar boy. I know some people don't like that talk, but come on, let's be real, man. That's why he gave a commission in the Word. Say, hey, you're better off to marry is burning your lusts and your passions. Amen. We got to stay with the Word, brethren. You know, preacher preaches the truth and people get offended. Well, you can't say that. I did. And I'm going to say it again. Amen. You're going to get right with God. You say, well, you know, you're a little bit rude in speech. And that's what the Bible said. It said the minister's rude in speech, but not in knowledge. People need a little wake-up call. We're in this seeker-friendly, sensitive people. Go to college, and we got a little safe zone over here for the fags and the queers. We ain't got no safe zone in this church. When you're a sinner, you're going to hear about it. I'm going to preach the gospel to you. And I'm going to love you. And I'm going to help you. And I'll help you walk out of your wretchedness. Amen. If you're a drunk, I'm going to help you get over alcoholism. If you're a dope addict, I'm going to help you. If you're a whoremonger, I'm going to help you. If you're a whore, I'm going to help you. That's what I'm called to do. Amen. But you're going to hear about it because those things don't enter into the kingdom. So if you're going to be offended by being identified what you are, how can I help someone unless I identify it? Is that right? You know? So if Jesus loves you just the way you are, then why did he say to transform and to press your way into the kingdom and to mortify and to kill out and to deny and to reject and to cast down thoughts? Because we're in a continual warfare, brethren. Amen. So quit trying to polish yourself and make your man being something special. There's no good thing, the Bible says. And it's your very best righteousness, the Bible said, is filthy rags. So quit trying to be a filthy rag. Amen. And be a son of God and love the Lord and fall in love with him and know that the only chance and the only hope you have is just to by being born again and filled with his spirit and his love and his power. And you rejoice in him and say, thank you for salvation, Lord God. I love you with all my heart. Amen. And then you're going to find your mind being transformed and you're going to find that your thinking is changing. And the former things, you're putting them off. And you're going to quit reasoning in your denominationalism. And you're going to quit reasoning in your former ways. And you're going to find out, as the Apostle Paul said, he said, all of my learning was dung. And this was a religious man. And he said, all my learning become as dung. Amen. But he came to something called the mind of Jesus Christ. Amen. To let that mind be in you, my brothers and sisters. Let that mind be in you. Let's stand together. We're just getting started. I really didn't get to go where I thought I was going. Amen. I didn't even get started at it, but I did speak about a few little things. And hopefully, you know, we can come back in. Some of you that are tuned in, if you want a copy of the booklet on baptism to go in and speak about some of the very controversial things in our churches today. Many of my Pentecostal brothers get a little upset with me because they think I'm taking away some of their foundational truths. I'm not taking away from anybody's foundational truths because the only truth is my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They use terminologies that violates the Word. And if your terminology from your denominationalism is a violation to the Word, it's my calling to perfect you and get rid of those things. Amen. If you're a mechanic and you're putting something into your engine and some, you know, wise fable come along and told you, yeah, put honey in your motor oil and it'll make things last longer. And if I got some revelation, I said, no, that ain't right. I'm going to tell you, quit putting honey in your engine. I'm going to share one embarrassing moment. We're going to go on here. So here I am at the thing, and they had two cash registers, right? Here I am standing here, and a guy, you know, I'm waiting for my turn. Well, this kid next to me, it looked like he put a horseshoe, a little small one, in his nose. And it's got two balls on it, and it's hanging out right here. And I'm kind of looking, you know, I'm an observer, you know. It's like, you know, I never was inspired to, you know, jam a horseshoe in my nose. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm weird. Anybody been ever inspired to jam a horseshoe in your nose? I mean, you know, when I raised up, you know what was pinned in noses? Pigs. They put rings in their nose, didn't they, Brother Bob? They put a ring in a pig's nose to keep it from rooting. Yeah, that's right. You know about them, eh? So I'm wondering if it's an allegory that pigs put stuff in their nose. Well, okay. I'm not going to say anything offensive there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. I'm repenting, man. Y'all see that. I'm repenting. Now, I know there's innocent kids out there. They think it's fashion. And I'm not going to say every one of them's a pig, but most of them are. But let's go on. Jesus called them swines and pigs and dogs, going back to the vomit and this and that. So we'll stop there for a minute. But let me finish this. So, you know, this guy that had pins and wherever, but this one thing's hanging out of his nose. So here's a kid standing in front of me as a cashier. Looked like a pretty decent guy. And, you know, I'm just making stupid, dumb, idle conversations. You know, I put my foot in my mouth often, brother. You know, I understand. So here's a guy standing in front of me, and I go, make an idle conversation. I said, what do you think inspired this guy to have that? You know, the guy left. I said, have that ring in his nose, horseshoe in his nose. And I'm telling you, this is God's honest truth. This guy's sitting there looking at me, and he did like this, and he took his finger, and he went up his nose, and he pulled this one out. He had it reversed up in there. I couldn't see it because his boss told him he couldn't wear this at work. I like bosses that try to keep things proper. Yeah. But he digs up there and pulls this thing out, and I look at him. What do you say about that? I say, hey, that's cool, man. You know? Yeah. Need to get, yeah, get the boger off of it. No. No. I said, so I asked him what inspired that guy. I said, what inspired you? I talked to one kid one day, and it looked like he went fishing with his grandpa, and the tackle box blew up, went all in his face, you know. And so I asked him, man, I'm that kind of guy. I'll be standing in line with somebody at the thing, and I'll grab their arm and say, well, let me look. Hey, don't touch me. I said, what, you put all that stuff on your arm if you want somebody? I just said, let me look at it a second. What inspired you to put that devil on your arm? One guy had a big old tattoo, and it said, God's the only one who could judge me. Well, that's a lie. That's not the truth. But he took time to mark his body with a lie, so I'm dumb enough to ask him. I said, and he was probably about your size. I said, hey, dude. I said, what inspired you to put a lie like that on your arm? What you mean a lie? And I said, because I'm judging you right now. The Bible said you, spiritual, judge all things. Right. Amen? So we got to get some understanding with what we think we know, because we don't know what we ought to know. Amen. So, you know, I don't care what you say, if it offends you or what, rings are for the hogs, Brother John. That's what they put in their nose. Amen. And they can keep them that way. I'm just a simple guy. Amen. You know, people getting all these disputes, Brother Ed, and we're going to close. But, you know, like, well, we don't want Target to have, you know, a little boy section, a little girl section. You know, that's offensive. We got to just kind of have it all neutral. Well, I'm not for that. No. If somebody come and prove to me there was no God, which they couldn't, and we're all just going to live our 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is, 100, maybe, I don't care if you live 590, whatever, and we're going to go back to the dirt and we're just going to be worm food, okay, and it's all done. I still think, in my old simple thinking, that a little girl should be a little girl. Amen? Amen? And a little boy should be a little boy. Amen? That's Amen. The way I think. And I don't see anything wrong with that. So, you know, you say, well, you know, this is 2019. And I say, yeah, I see the results of your 2019 ideology. And I see a cursed world, that one that God's fixing to bring judgment nice, on man. And destroy it. Yep. Amen. And there won't be one stone standing on top of another because of the ideology that's coming from the colleges in a place called United States of America. And you said, you're going to blame it on the colleges? Well, I just did, but listen, I'm not done. The real problem is the apostate church, the perversion, Brother Melvin, and the filth that's coming from what they call pulpits. Yeah. You know what a pulpit is? I know in the Old Testament they use the term pulpit, but we understand that the reason the Lord's suffering pulpits today is because they're pulling them all into the pit, is what they're doing, teaching them false doctrine. Teaching them Catholicism. Protestant churches are teaching more Catholicism than they are Protestant doctrine. They are, brother. You know, when you keep living like a dog in sin and you run to church and you run into the altars and say, oh, Jesus, wash me with your blood. Oh, Jesus, wash me with your blood. And your Pentecostal preacher, your Baptist preacher said it's all under the blood and lay hands on you. He is just then became a Catholic priest because that is false doctrine. When your Pentecostal preacher says that your sin is forgiven and it's under the blood, when you knew and you've you've already been partakers of the world to come and been partakers of these things, and you've tasted of it, and the Bible said that you go back to it. It said there remaineth no more sacrifice for that sin. It's no longer under the blood. It said you got one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to unlatch your shoes, but he's going to come baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, if you are God's elect son of God and you go do those things, it won't be imputed to you as sin. The Bible said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. But if you're a child of God and not a bastard child, one without a father, if you're a child of God, he's going to purge you with the Holy Ghost fire. And I mean, he's going to come down on your fields, my friend. Amen. Some go into rebellion and they come out of it in a wheelchair. Some go into rebellion, they come out blind. Some go into rebellion and they lose a marriage. They lose a wife. And it's the judgment and the chastening of God, because the Bible said some men's sins go before and some go after. If your sins go before, that means you're going to stand judgment on this side for your willful sin. Amen? So it's different. Now, a man ain't never been born again. He comes in here. It is under the blood, and he's going to have all of his sins washed away by the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But once he's come and partook and sits under doctrine and he goes back out, then it's a different deal altogether. And God does chasten them that he loves. Amen. And he's going to burn some fields. Amen. The Bible goes on to say this. Amen. It said, ye that suffer in the flesh, cease from sin. So sometimes people got to go through suffering, Brother John, to get rid of the iniquities and the things that are displeasing to God. Amen. But the Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. You say, I don't really like this doctrine. Well, that's okay, but it's still the word of God. Amen. And it's yea and amen, and it's thus saith the Lord. Then I challenge you, you that are tuned in today, you that are listening, if I violated the Bible in any one place, you owe it to me, my friend, to write me, to call me, or to speak to me. Amen. And let me tell you something. Brother Rob has made alterations over the years through the transformation of mine. I had to denounce things in my early years of conversion and early years of preaching. I was considered a Trinitarian. I was teaching a three-person Godhead, my friend. Amen. I didn't believe it, but this is what I was around. This is what they taught me. But I come to the revelation, I had to denounce that. I had to cast it out. Did that make all those people bad? No. I got friends out there. I love them. They're dear to me. But I do not teach a Trinitarian doctrine of a three-person Godhead. It's not biblical. It's not sound, and it's not sound doctrine. Amen. So I've grown in the grace and knowledge of God. Am I going to make all them bad? Absolutely not. They fed me. They brought me, I told you, I'd shared when I started out, a Baptist preacher come to my house when I'm living like a dog, knocking on my door, love me, Brother Melvin, and started teaching me. You know, I never went to his church. I happened to have a friend that was a Pentecostal, rebellious little punk is what he was, John. I used to go smoke dope with this guy and he'd be talking about Jesus. I didn't know no better, but man, he's trying to talk to me about some things I needed to know. But he's smoking dope. Well, he died. The Bible said they shortened the number of their days by their disobedience. Maybe God took the little guy in at 17 years old, huh? 18 years old, took him in. You know, I'll leave that with the Lord. You know, I went to his funeral. He was my best friend. I went to his funeral, and his mama's preacher, man, he left the whole 99 that was there to bury this little guy, and he come right at me. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to hell with this dude. I'm starting making some considerations and alterations. Guy came right up to me. When he gets done, all these people, why didn't he go over and talk to mama and comfort her a little bit? Why didn't he go over to the dad that's mourning the loss of their son? He comes straight to me, right to me. And he says, hey, I want to invite you to church. I needed it. And you know what I did, John? I started going. I didn't go to the Baptist guy, man, that was, you know, coming around. That was the same, very same time. You know, Brother Mike here likes fishing. This was my fishing buddy. We fished and drank beer until I knew I had to work the next day. I left out about 3. He decides to drown at about 6 in the morning. Right there, man, quarter mile from my shop. I'm over there working. The sheriff comes and gets me to identify him when they drag him out of the water. Hey, I needed a wake-up call like that. Well, maybe that little guy was a sacrifice for you. Maybe he was. Praise God for that. God made him, took him in. Well, you said he was smoking dope and drinking that very night he died. And I said, who are you to find fault with God if he has one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? If God shortened that young boy's days and took him in, I find no fault with him. If that boy's in hell, guess what? I find no fault with God. Amen. That's where he deserves to be. You know why I know that? Because that's where I deserve to be. And that's where you deserve to be.
Right.
We all deserve hell. Because you ain't going to make it in by your righteousness or by what you think you know. If you make it in, it's simply by the mercy and the grace of God. And sometimes the more you know, the more it's required of you. And sometimes it's harder for these theologians to make it in than these people out there stumbling around in their alcoholism. You say, I can't believe you said that. Well, I did. And I got Bible for it. Amen.
Amen.
So it's easier for the drunken and the harlots to make it in. That's what the Bible says. Because they know they're wrong, need help. But some of these religious people, they're so polished, you know, don't you tell me nothing. Man of blessed God, I got born again. Billy Graham laid hands on me and told me that I'm been born again because I repeated the prayer with him. Well, you might find him chewing on you in hell. You say, you put Billy Graham in hell? Well, if he's there, it's by the righteousness of Christ. And if he ain't, it's by the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
And you say, well, you can't put him in hell. I didn't. But he was in false doctrine.
Amen.
Oh, but he's the pastor of America. He's still in false doctrine. I don't care what you call him. Well, the whole American following you. The Bible said the whole world will fall after the Antichrist.
That's right.
The whole world will fall after the Antichrist. And I'm going to tell you something. Billy Graham taught more Antichrist doctrine than he did Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but he taught people salvation. He's more, man, he's brought more people into the kingdom of God than any other preacher. No, he brought in, the Bible said their proselytes make twofold more the child of hell, surpassing land and sea. Amen?
Yeah.
And you say, well, what kind of false doctrine was he in, Brother Rob? Well, he said he didn't believe that you had to even believe in the virgin birth. And he had Catholic priests in his meetings as counselors. And he said, if any Catholics come in our meetings and come in and make a profession, we're going to turn them back to the Catholic Church. There ain't no man of God that would ever do that. Because he knows that Catholicism is of the devil.
Amen.
Amen. And two can't walk together again unless they be in agreement. And like my pastor said, he was a Catholic priest. That's what he said about Billy Graham.
Amen.
He said he didn't know if angels were real or not. And he didn't know if hell was literal or not. If you want, I got a magazine article on him that you say, well, it need to be vindicated. Well, let me tell you something. He was on the scene, and this came out in 1992, called The Winter Time of His Life in Life magazine. And I'm going to tell you something. When a magazine article interviews you and they put that much stuff in there and you don't refute it, then there's something wrong. And he didn't refute him because it's what he said.
Yep.
He wrote a book on angels, and he said in this article he didn't even know if he believed in angels or not. Amen. So let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the truth. And there's no other way to enter in but by him. And when you get into a place of doctrine like Benny Hinn did, and he's thinking there's more than one way other than Jesus, then I'll tell you what, they're false prophets.
Amen.
And they need to be denounced and rejected. Amen. Amen. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And his word is yea and amen.
Amen.
So the thing is when you look at, and I come against a great man of God that done great accomplishments. And I say, great man of God, and you're coming against him. The Bible said you don't speak against God's elect. He wasn't. Because if he was God's elect, he would have preached God's word.
Right. Sure.
Amen. So, brethren, I believe in mercy and grace. But if they don't have Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the kingdom.
Amen.
They must be born again. That's Bible. You must be born again. Amen?
Amen.
So you deal with the Lord any way that you want to, but I'm going to stay with the word. God bless you. I love you. Let's sing a song or two, and we'll close the service and go home. The altars are open this morning. Amen. Remember the Lamberts ministering this morning over in St. Paul's, and remember them as they travel. Lord, keep their hand upon them. Keep them safe. Sister Melinda's children are supposed to be coming home today. Pray for travel and safety for the Stone family. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Let's worship him, church. Let's take a couple moments this morning. Worship the Lord. You'll be dismissed. momentarily. Build fellowship with your families. We love you, Lord Jesus.
You are so gentle.
We love you, Lord God. We praise your holy name, Jesus.
So pure and so fine.
Lo salamata la masata la masi. Lord of Achilliasi. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to grow in your grace and knowledge. Open up our understanding, Lord God. Remove the shucks from our eyes, Almighty God, and the stoppers from our ears, that we could hear good when good comes. Don't let us walk in the blindness and the darkness of man's heart, but let us walk in the light of your revelation. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus. What a wonder you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are so gentle.
Praise you, Lord God.
So pure and so kind.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you a thankful people today for what Jesus has done for you? Again, when the Bible said that the whole world will follow after the Antichrist, you got to take and listen. The Bible said it's a little flock, a small flock, and few be there that find it. Amen? When our Lord and our God flooded this world, only 8 people came out in a boat. Amen? The whole rest of the world was destroyed, all men. So you need to understand this God. Amen. He gave the people an opportunity there. He had concern for all the animals and the beasts, that he gave them an ark of covenant and safety to bring them forth. Amen. But man mocked and rejected this man of God there to build this boat. And they could have found salvation, but they rejected and they all died. Amen. Amen. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, they had an opportunity to follow the Lord and take heed to what the ministry of the gospel or the ministry of God was saying to the people. But only 4 came out. Amen. So then we go down through the next progression in time and we find Moses leading all these people out of Egypt. There's report millions of people. And only 2 of them made it into the promised land. All the ones that were above the age of 18 that came out of Egypt lost their life and their soul out in the wilderness in them 40 years. All of them except 2, Joshua and Caleb. So you're starting to understand this big merciful God that you think you know, that's going to bring your old wretched dog self into the kingdom while you live like a dog and devil and defy him. And he's showing you a pattern. So it went from 8 to 4 to 2. The next time it's only going to be 1, my friend. And that's going to be the body of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you're not predestined in him, and bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, amen, then you won't make it. So you better make sure that you're in the faith. The Bible said, make your calling and your election sure. Amen. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure your name's in the book. And you're going to do that by walking by faith. Amen. So let's press our way into the kingdom. Amen. Let's fight this good fight of faith. The Bible said we know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. Let's get in the brotherhood and let's fall in love. Let's help one another, labor with one another, work with one another. When your brother's weak and in a fault, you know, help him. Instead of using him for a stepping stone, help him. He needs your help. Amen. And one day you're going to need his help.
So pure and so kind.
I told you when I was a heathen, I knocked a man slap on his hind end. I wasn't a heathen. I just got saved. The next thing I go up on rib floor and I get knocked slapped out by a spinning chain. I mean, I'm out cold. And when I woke up, the very man helped me up. They took me off to the hospital. Said, make your enemy come lie down and be at your feet, huh? Amen. We better be careful. Be careful, my friend. That wife might take that cast iron skillet to your head while you're snoring. Amen. Praise the Lord. If it don't work, sister, call me. I got a heavier one in my house. He said, come on, preacher. You ain't talking like that, are you? Oh, yeah, I am. Might do you a little bit of good and help you some, too. Amen. You love the Lord? I love y'all. Appreciate you. Thank you for adequate time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
You are so gentle.
Thank you, Lord. So again, it's a pleasure to have Brother Bob, his wife, here with us. As we close the service, brethren, I appreciate it. Let's keep these prayer requests that went forward in the beginning of the service. Let's keep them. Remember these people. Call them out before the Lord. Amen. Brother Bob, if you'll dismiss us this morning. Brother, I appreciate it. Come on up. And if you have a testimony or anything you'd like to share with the family, you're welcome to. Otherwise, you can dismiss us. If you want another sermon, these people are used to long sermon. Man, we'll just cut you loose right here, man. And I'll be on the front pew. Amen. And amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.